Thanks so much for being with us today on the Ideas Network. This year, the number of police officers in Wisconsin is at an all-time low since the Wisconsin Department of Justice started keeping track back in 2008. And today we're going to continue our talk about law enforcement, looking at police recruitment. We can look at mental health issues. We can look at training. We'll look at certainly at women in policing and a whole lot more with our next guest, Polly Olson, Appleton's assistant chief of police. She will take over as Appleton's chief of police in January and will be the first woman to hold the title in Appleton. Polly was named the Appleton Police Department's Officer of the Year in 2012. The National Alliance on Mental Illness in 2010 named her Fox Valley's Crisis Intervention Team Officer of the Year. And in 2008, she was named by the Wisconsin Association of Women's Police as Woman Officer of the Year. Lots of experience here. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Has your city struggled to recruit and train police officers? What effect has it had on your community? Maybe you're involved or have been involved in police work, or maybe you were on the other side and had to sometimes as well. I hope you'll join in with any comments you have. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, Assistant Chief, but soon to be Chief, Polly Olson, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I'm really happy to have this time to spend with you today.
Well, maybe tell us about yourself first a little bit, how you got in law enforcement, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I did take kind of a different route to get into law enforcement. I actually have a bachelor's degree in biology from UW Oshkosh, and really had no exposure to law enforcement growing up, good or bad. I grew up in Appleton, was born and raised here, and other than having some actually mostly positive contacts with school resource officers, you know, back when I was in high school, really had no idea what police officers do and quite frankly, very little interest, you know, in looking at law enforcement as a career. However, I was navigating towards a helping profession, so I started out in nursing and then went to pre-med and subsequently settled on biology when I finally did graduate. And then I actually started working for the Outagamie County Coroner's Office as one of their deputy coroners. And that's actually how I got introduced to law enforcement. So it was kind of a unusual route. However, I did have a little bit more life experience behind me when I began in this career. So I think that ended up being a benefit for me.
Yeah, and you started out, I think you were a paroled officer, or were you a paroling officer?
No. I just worked with the coroner's office, and then ended up getting hired here in Appleton at a time where the chief at the time was looking for really professional people that had some life experience and had the philosophy that, you know, if you hire the right people, you can train up the right people, and you didn't necessarily have to hire somebody, you know, with a law enforcement background or degree.
Well, and what does a police officer do? You know, I think we have a vision of, we all have some sort of a stereotype vision of what a police officer does. What do you think a police officer does and should do?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I would say that over the 22 years I've been here, that answer has evolved from something, like I said, from when I started 22 years ago to where we are today. And law enforcement or police officers really have become kind of a catch-all for all sorts of problems that they have to solve in the community, whether that would be from mental health to just relationship building to maintaining safety for people. And so, you know, really no day is ever the same. Every day is different. And there's a lot of problem solving that goes into this job.
Yeah, I would think so. We just finished talking about David Cooper. I don't know if you heard any of that, his former, or if you knew about David Cooper. You're too young to have been around. But he was certainly one of the visionaries or forward-thinking officers of the time. And he strived to change the way police interact with the community. Is this something important to you? Maybe not changing, maybe you're already doing it, but what ideas do you have to bring your department and the community of Appleton closer together?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I do, I already embrace and have embraced that philosophy for a long time. I did spend about 7 years working as a school resource officer and really felt that, you know, establishing those relationships with kids and parents and staff early on in that role really set the foundation for some of their later experiences that they have with law enforcement. And I think that carries over into how we engage with the community and being transparent, having good relationships with community members, being able to hear some of the, you know, feedback that we get that isn't always good, and being open to hearing that and suggestions for change, and just really taking a look at that, viewing that as a relationship and not just us coming in to, you know, say, enforce laws. I mean, it's much greater than that.
Yeah, and I think I like the idea of that David Cooper had or has of viewing the community and as a way of we have clients out mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. We have customers, or you might say, and it's our role to work with them in that sort of framework of thought.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. You know, and of course, back in the 80s, you had community policing was really starting to gain some stronghold, and this idea of broken windows, you know, policing, that if you started to really handle some of these small issues, you started to really see a reduction in the big issues, right? So, you know, and I think that he's absolutely right in taking a look at how you build your relationships with people, and no problem really is too small, you know, and that we encourage people to call us so that we can get on top of things early on so that you can really, you know, hopefully prevent some of the bigger things that can happen in a community. And that really starts with building that relationship and that trust so that people call and call earlier on when some of these problems happen so that we can get involved and really just, again, look at it as a partnership. And you're right, you know, in some ways they are our clients or our customers, and we're here to serve them.
Yeah. Polly Olson is Appleton's Assistant Chief of Police, and we're going to be spending some more time talking with her, certainly about policing. We can talk training. We can talk about women as in the police force, a variety of things with her. And I hope you'll stay with us because she'll be here right up until 12:30 today. You can call in at 1-800-642-1234, or if you want to send an email, you can email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we will be back with Polly Olson. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about police recruitment. We're talking training. Maybe get touch on the efforts to increase diversity in the police force. Our guest is Polly Olson, Appleton's Assistant Chief of Police. She will take over as Appleton's Chief of Police in January and will be the first woman to hold the title. What kinds of training do you think police officers should receive? What do you think should be done to bolster police recruitment efforts? And how should police maybe handle mental health calls? You can give us a call The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We have a caller online, I think, with a great question to start this segment, Elijah in Appleton. Thank you very much for calling. And what's on your mind?
Hello. I would first like to say thank you, Chief Olson, for everything you're doing. And I really appreciate the officers in my town. And what is the, I suppose, the part that's easy or you most enjoy and the part that's the most difficult or you least enjoy?
Well, that's an interesting question. And thank you, Elijah, for reaching out today. The thing I most enjoy really is the connections I get to make in the community and actually within the department, too. I really take a look at the employees here as, you know, we're truly a big family. Their families are part of our big family, and I think that's part of the reason why we have a very high retention rate here, because I think for the most part, people really enjoy the work that they do. And that reflects in how they are externally with the community. So I think that's important. So I would say my favorite part is really just the connections I get to make with people, some of the ongoing relationships I've developed over the years, whether that would be because we had a professional contact out there when somebody was in need, or it could just be a professional level contact with somebody for whatever that reason might be. But that by far is my favorite. I think the hardest thing is quite honestly, you know, just some of the calls that I've handled over the years or some of the cases I've handled over the years and the various roles I've had have exposed me to seeing people in some of the worst times of their life, experiencing maybe one of the worst situations they've ever had to endure, whether that would be a death of a child or just really just horrible things. And I really feel sincere compassion for others and empathy for others. And that's, I think, sometimes difficult for me to wrap my head around. And I would definitely say that those situations are by far, I think, the worst and most difficult I've had to handle.
Thank you so much for that question. Appreciate it. Another listener wonders how your education in biology helps during your police work, maybe investigations, for example.
Yeah, sure. Early on in my career, it definitely did help. I think, you know, just my mindset is, you know, definitely more science and technology driven. I've struggled a little bit over the years in trying to tap into that creative side of my brain just because I'm not wired as much that way, but I recognize that. And I think have come a long ways as far as that piece is concerned. But yeah, definitely early on, I was interested in the forensic science piece. Certainly in my work in investigations, it's carried over. I was the lieutenant in charge of our detective bureau for a long time, and then also a captain in charge of our investigative services bureau. So again, some of our major cases, and whether it be homicides or other death investigations, my background in biology, I think, really it came in handy, as well as my work in the coroner's office. That also came in handy.
Hmm. Patty in Reidsville has something for us. Let's go there. Patty, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. God bless you for your work. I'm a retired nurse. I've taken care of one too many gunshot patients. It's not pretty. I pray and I beg all the officers in law enforcement to take a stand, not only statewide, but nationally, with stricter gun laws. It would save so many lives. It might save yours. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patty, for calling. Polly, a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Patty, and thank you for your years and years of dedicated service. I can't even imagine some of the things that Patty and others like her have certainly seen in careers like that, and they're a blessing to us as well. And, you know, I think, you know, as far as the gun issue is concerned, I think that, you know, it's a very deep issue, and it's not something that there's a quick answer to. But certainly, you know, having being able to enforce the laws that we have in place, I think, are important. And I think making sure that we do everything we can to keep guns out of the hands of people that don't have a legal, you know, right or to carry them and are breaking the law, I think, is an important thing.
Pat emailed us as a parent of a high school student interested in a law enforcement career. So their son or daughter wants to get into a law enforcement. How would you promote a law enforcement career as a positive choice to them as parents who aren't as excited as he is with all that's going on in the country regarding law enforcement?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I know for me, the attraction, like I think I mentioned earlier, was, you know, it's a helping profession, and it's truly a calling. It's difficult when somebody has a mindset towards getting into law enforcement to steer them in a different direction, because I think I've heard from others and certainly many times in interviews that I've conducted with prospective candidates that they talk about this, just this desire, and even though they may go in a different direction for a period of time because either they were steered away from it or life intervened, that they seem to always circle back to doing something in policing if that's kind of where they just felt like their heart was taking them. And so as a parent looking forward to having a child in law enforcement, I mean, some of the things to keep in mind are being very selective about where one chooses to work, because that certainly will have an influence on the type of career that they'll have. And choosing a department and a community that, if you can, that's supportive of law enforcement and that has the resources to make sure that the police officers have everything at their fingertips to keep them safe and the proper training that they need to do their jobs correctly. I think those are all important things to keep in mind when, you know, you have somebody that is being drawn into this profession but wants to have the most positive experience from it.
You know, and here we have this survey, I think it was of 194 police agencies around the country, that there were a lot of officers leaving, or retirements increased, I think, by over 45% between 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
Compared to the year before, resignations up a bit, too. What's your sense of what is happening at departments in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, we were not immune to that, the surge in resignations and retirements. I think right now it feels like we're on the back end of that, and I'm cautiously optimistic that the tides are turning back a little bit, and there's a little bit of a recovery from, you know, a lot of the quite frankly, the craziness that was COVID and all the other events that have transpired over the last few years. So. But yeah, definitely in talking with chiefs from other agencies and connections that I have, that we're all experiencing that, and also experiencing just a reduction in the number of applicants and candidates that we have for openings that we have. And that's a challenge. I think here at Appleton, in looking again at some of the processes that we've held recently, I'm starting to see definitely an increase in the number of applicants, and certainly some really great quality applicants, some good people, which really has me feeling encouraged for the future.
Yeah. Well, how do you go about recruiting, or what needs to happen for recruiting more police officers?
Yeah, you know, I think it's multifold. You know, the approach that we have been really kind of pushing towards is trying to connect with people, and that includes in a couple different levels. One, trying to get into the schools and getting the attention of kids early. And why I think that's important is, now if I go back to reflecting on my experiences in high school, I never even considered it job in law enforcement or in a career in law enforcement. And if you would have told me back in, I'll be honest, I graduated in 1990. If you would have told me back then that I someday would be the chief of police, I would have thought you were just absolutely crazy. And I think that, you know, there's opportunities to connect with people in high school and just expose them to all the different opportunities that they have in front of them in public safety. And it might not necessarily be policing. It could be probation and parole. It could be corrections. It could be firefighting. You know, there's so much good, solid occupations out there that you can have a long and happy life doing that I think people just sometimes don't consider because they're just not aware that those opportunities are out there.
For the most part, what are the educational requirements for someone to become a law officer, enforcement officer in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the basic requirements are just 60 college credits, and obviously having a clear criminal history, no domestic violence convictions. You know, there's some of those things, you know, having a pretty decent traffic record, you know, those things are necessary. But as far as like an education requirement, it's 60 college credits.
And let's turn to women for a minute. What challenges do women face in hiring and promotion in law enforcement that perhaps you or at least others that you know have who are in the profession have encountered?
So, you know, the challenges of being a female in this industry, once again, are, you know, it's difficult sometimes when you're looking to, I'll just speak from my experiences, that if you don't have people to help guide your way. So in my case, not having another woman here in leadership to be able to mentor me, I think, you know, wasn't necessarily a good thing. I wish I would have had that experience in my life. I'm happy now that I'm in a position that I can do that for other women and open the door, hopefully, for them to have experiences and opportunities that I've now had. Now, lucky for me, in this PD, I've had people here who, men, who have done that for me, who have given me a seat at the table, who have encouraged me, who have, you know, helped me build my confidence in knowing that I can and have now taken this next step. And I think just like anything, when you look at increasing diversity, well, it's not just women, but, you know, people from all backgrounds, I think it's important just to see other people like that already doing it and just paving that way and knowing that that door now is open for you. And I'm hoping that, again, looking 10, 20 years from now, that women, many more women, will consider this as a career opportunity for themselves.
Yeah. Look at Madison. It's, I think, around 25% of the Madison police force is comprised of women, and 10% are comprised of people of color. So that's about 35% of the police force is women or folks of color, which is pretty high, probably compared to many other departments in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they definitely far exceed where most of us are. We've kind of varied between, we're very low right now in terms of the number of women we have. We do have some diversity here, which is great, but we only have 8 women, and we're sworn at 113 officers. And I think at one point we probably were up to 15 or 16 women, and over the last, I would say, probably 5 years, we have seen a number of women resign, whether that would be to move on to a different career or stay home with a family or whatever the case may be. And I would say that's probably one of our biggest challenges in retaining women is, you know, we're a pretty, I don't want to say rigid, but I think just the nature of policing and scheduling and some of those things, because you have to be. You can't always have the same level of flexibility in this industry as you can in the private sector. And sometimes it's difficult when you're looking at having a family or you're looking at, you know, just balancing all the things in the work-life balance, and it can be a challenge. And I think sometimes it can be, not to take anything away from dads out there, but I think sometimes there is a bigger burden for women when there's families and kids at home.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, in terms of police numbers, I know there have been some problems, like just because we were talking with about David Cooper, I can say Madison has a program that involves dispatches EMT, an EMT and a crisis counselor to some 9/11 calls.
Mm-hmm.
That don't require police presence. And this is, I think they did over 800 calls in Madison the last year, which really helped the police department in terms of then they could spend their resources on preventing and solving violent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've thought of or thought about, or do you have something of that, you know, sort of in your mind for down the road?
Yeah, I think anytime we can reduce, you know, police going to calls that are not, you know, criminal in nature or not necessarily a crime, I think that's obviously a positive thing. A large percentage of the calls for service that we currently respond to involve a welfare check, which, you know, could range from, you know, somebody that is on a park bench and, you know, maybe passed out and they just need an officer to check on them, all the way to somebody in crisis who is actively suicidal and anything in between. And, again, one of those calls for service that has increased in number significantly over the last, you know, 2 to 5 years. So you do have to come up with and start thinking forward in terms of how to respond to that, and knowing that the current structure for responding to those calls for service isn't sustainable with the resources that we have in place. One of the things that we have moved towards is we have a community crisis response team here in Appleton. It's still relatively new. We're about 9 or 10 months into the program, and that does involve us having a social worker on our team here at Appleton PD, and she does co-respond on some of these crisis calls with officers that, you know, for those types of calls for service that we know don't involve a weapon or there isn't that significant safety concern. But she's still co-responding, so it's not, you know, necessarily to the degree that they're seeing in Madison where you might have, like you mentioned, an EMT and a social worker. We still have police going. However, you know, her goal is to do as much diversionary work that she can do and getting people that the help that they need that isn't necessarily going down the road of involving a law enforcement type of situation.
Yeah, that that makes a lot of sense for sure. Well, as you look at your own role, in January, you're going to be the chief of police of Appleton. What kinds of things are you looking forward to, or do you have some plans for, you know, moving forward with the department?
Yeah, I do have some plans. I mean, nothing at this point, you know, significant in terms of I've been lucky enough to serve on this command staff now for about 5 or 6 years. And so in my role here, whether it would be as a captain or as an assistant chief, we have a very small command staff. There's 5 of us. So there's a lot of collaboration that takes place that really kind of steers the vision and where we're going with our agency. So having been a part of that already for several years, I really don't feel the need to all of a sudden switch directions, if you know what I mean. So, mm-hmm. But I do think that there are some things that I feel like we can start focusing on that might look a little bit different than perhaps the direction that we were going in the past. And some of those things are really just doing a little bit more to try to do some relationship building with some of the more marginalized members of our community and building up those relationships, being a little bit more intentional about that. And some of that has to be driven by what we have for available resources, and there is a staffing crisis, so that's contributed to us not necessarily always having the resources to commit to some of those relationship-building opportunities, and I'm hoping that we're going to start seeing a swing and getting more people hired so we can focus on some of that a little bit more. And then also really just I talked a little bit about the 80 style of policing, and we are in the process right now of breaking up right now we have 3 policing districts, and in the past we would have those districts broken up into smaller sections where we would have, you know, a little bit more of that grassroots kind of, we talk about community policing and officers, boots to the ground, and getting to know those neighborhoods. And we've moved away from that over the last, I would say, 15 years, and I'd like to see us go back into that again. And in having smaller sections for officers to really get to know, you know, whether it's the business owners or some of the, you know, neighborhood watch captains or, you know, what have you in those smaller districts so that they can just really do, you know, truly having people in the neighborhoods get to know the officers, you know, by face, by name, and hopefully break down some of the barriers that might exist there.
You know what? Let's figure about a year from now, after you've been in that job for a year, Polly, I would love to have you back and talk with you again about how things are going and if any of your views have changed now that you're chief.
Yeah, I would love that too. It's I'm sure that things. If you would have asked me a year from now where I'd be right now, I'd say I wouldn't have guessed this. So I'd love to see where things are going to be a year from now.
Polly, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciated talking with you today, Larry.
Polly Olson, Appleton's Assistant Chief of Police, and in January becomes the chief. I'll just get her back in a year or so, and we'll see how things are progressing. And how things are progressing tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show, the bugs are back with Phil Pelletieri to talk about fall insects that might be finding your way into your home. And we can talk about magnolia scale treatments as well. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.